Blue Jackets have invaded downtown Indianapolis. Our CJ Miller was there with 70,000 or so of his closest friends, all for the FFA National Convention and Expo. We'll have a report coming up on the Hoosier Act Today podcast. Made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, they've been proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. You can find them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. We also have a harvest update with Andy Eubank in the news from Northwest Indiana. The soybean rally lost its luster on Wednesday. We talk about what could happen if we get a deal with Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has his Indiana Farm Forecast on the way. Stick around, the news is next here on HAT.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th, and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct. National FFA is well underway. So is harvest in Northwest Indiana. We have an update. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank reporting on Indiana agriculture, brought to you by Keystone Cooperative. Keystone believes in the power of National Blue and Corn Gold and salutes our local FFA members during the National FFA Convention and beyond. More than 70,000 students, advisors, and guests are in Indianapolis for the 98th National FFA Convention and Expo. CJ Miller here now is with one of those students from Southern Indiana. CJ?
Thank you, Andy. I'm with Abigail Trotter. She is a junior at Hauser High School and president of Hope FFA in Bartholomew County. And Abigail, what have been the major takeaways so far from here at the convention at the National FFA?
Thank you. This morning I went to one of the workshops called Mentorship Matters, and I really enjoyed it because it gave me some examples as to what I can take away back home to help with my chapter and just to help things run a little smoother.
Abigail, tell me what led you to decide to become a member of Indiana FFA.
Well, it's sort of a lengthy story, but in the third grade, I joined 4-H with one of my friends, and I really enjoyed it. And then in the seventh grade, we had the option to go to this career fair. And well, I went to the career fair, and everybody was like, come join FFA, come see what it's all about. So I decided to join it, and it was probably the best decision I made in high school.
What advice would you give to others who are in school that may decide, maybe asking, I don't know if FFA is for me?
Well, I come from a family that wasn't raised on a farm or anything. I live on a lake. And so I don't have the same background as everybody, but I would say don't be scared to put yourself out there. And there's really something in FFA for everybody. If you're interested in crops, there's crops practice. And if you want to learn more about animals, you can join Livestock Skillathon. So don't be scared to join FFA.
Once again, Abigail Trotter, she's president of Hope FFA. Thank you so much for joining us here on Hoosier Ag Today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And our coverage is presented by Keystone Cooperative. And here from the 98th National FFA Convention and Expo, I'm CJ Miller.
Indiana harvest is not quite complete, but even in Northwest Indiana, it is getting close. In a Channel Seed Harvest Update, Josh Robertson, field sales representative with Channel for Northwest Indiana, says the farther north you go, the more behind they are.
Not quite as far along, which is typical, but I'm going to say in this area, we're 75% done with corn, with a lot of guys calling it done, and then 90 to 95% beans. You'll still see a few beans that were either double crop beans or maybe some late planted beans, replant beans, things like that. But for the most part, beans are wrapped up.
Robertson says 2025 has been a different year, but similar to past seasons when there was variability from one field to the next.
A lot of guys will say, hey, we had really good bean yields. I've heard several farmers, growers tell us that hey, these are the best beans that ever grown. And then you have some that say, yeah, they're just beans. They're common. You know, what was unique about this year is it feels like in the immediate area here where I live, we caught that half inch, three quarter inch rain whenever we needed it. Even rains that weren't on the forecast. And then you go 3 miles south, south of me, just across Highway 24, and they couldn't buy one of those rains. So depending on where you were at, we got some really good yields, and then others are calling it average or slightly below.
Actual corn yields will also vary and hit records for some.
Of course, we're talking each field's going to be a little different, and you're pushing 300 in some of those really better soils. But farm average is 260 and the low 270s. And then, you know, 240, 250 is really good depending on the soil type these guys are working with. So we've heard some of that as well.
Harvest has been nonstop for many in Northwest Indiana, and another 5 to 10 days is enough to wrap it up for most. Others may be looking at another month in the fields. Hear more from Josh Robertson in the full Hat and Channel Seed Harvest Update at HoosierAgToday.com and our free mobile app. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible. Pushing for yield? Of course you are. But what's left behind the combine? A golden opportunity, that's what. Take advantage of the bound-up nutrition in your residue with Reclaim from Direct Enterprises. Reclaim makes valuable nutrition available to your next crop, enhances soil health, and reduces reliance on tillage. Plan ahead, get ahead with Reclaim. Learn more about Reclaim and find your local dealer online at directenterprises.com. That's directenterprises.com.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the action here today, we are going to be dealing with a little more cloud cover across the Hoosier State. To refresh your memory, we had a fairly significant upper-level low just churning, slowly moving across areas to our south back into yesterday. It did throw some moisture up into southern parts of Indiana. But this low, we knew it all along. We were seeing it all along. We're going to take a north and northeastern turn. It has done so, but it did so just a little bit farther back to the west. So this is going to introduce a little more moisture into the Hoosier State for your Thursday. Everything's done probably by midday, but I think we have to allow for scattered rain showers south of a line from Fort Wayne to at least Jeffersonville, and you may see a little bit getting back closer to Evansville here early this morning. This moisture, as we said, leaves fairly quickly, and by this afternoon we're just cloudy if we're dealing with anything across the Hoosier State. Farther west and north, I think you see cloudy to partly sunny skies today. Behind this low, we're seeing winds go more northwesterly across the Great Lakes, and it's going to be a significantly strong northwest flow with cool air. Why is that important? Well, lake effect cloud cover will be back, I think, in a lot of areas as we move through tomorrow and into the weekend. As a matter of fact, I think we have to watch for a few spits and sprinkles that come out of this lake effect wind pattern and the cloud cover for Saturday, especially in northwestern parts of Indiana, but I won't rule it out anywhere in the northern third of the state. Definitely a day that features more clouds than anything else. But once we get into Sunday, we're getting the winds to die a little bit, seeing sunshine come back, and that sets us up for a very nice week next week. I think we're going to be dry almost beginning to end next week, at least Monday through early Thursday morning. Now, Thursday afternoon, we are seeing a minor disturbance coming down on the next wave of cold air. We warm early next week and we chill down late, and that may trigger a few hit and miss scattered showers over the northern half of Indiana Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening before it breaks up. High pressure builds in over the Great Lakes for the rest of the week and start of that weekend, and then we have a frontal boundary that comes through Saturday afternoon, the 8th, into early Sunday, the 9th, falling apart as it does so, but probably giving us a slight chance of precipitation. Reading between the lines here, look, if you still have corn out to deal with in the field, still have some harvest to wrap up, I don't think we have many problems in a large part of the state. Yes, some moisture yesterday down in the south, some moisture today in eastern parts of the state. But from this weekend forward, we are going to be seeing a fairly decent batch of drying. Strong winds will aid this even in the colder air. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
The soybean rally loses its luster. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review, brought to you by the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. They remind you that the crop you're harvesting isn't the most important part of the farm this fall. You are. Get home safe. Your family needs you. Let's head off to Chicago now for some market analysis before we get Wednesday closing market numbers. Tom Fritz is there with EFG Group. And Tom, we often talk about buying the rumor, selling the fact. Well, the soybean rally really kind of lost its luster here on Wednesday. We bought the rumor, though. We've had a big rally. I mean, tell me, Tom, if pen gets put to paper here on an agreement, we're not selling this fact, right? It goes higher?
Well, it all depends on, what kind of quantities are we talking about. Overnight, it was announced that the Chinese state-owned entity, COFCO, they bought a snappy 3 cargoes of soybeans from us. Oh, boy. You're not going anywhere with that kind of buying. And they just said it was a goodwill gesture. But the bottom line is, everybody is waiting, what kind of deal is the president going to put together? And, the hope is that it involves, as Mr. Bissent said over the weekend, substantial amount of soybeans. Then again, Eric, to these politicians, what's a substantial amount? What may seem substantial to them, to those in the soybean industry, it may not be all that great. So we need to see at least 10 million tons, my opinion, and for this year, for it to have any meaning. Now, it's interesting, the deal that he put together with South Korea the other day involved money, that South Korea is going to invest $350 billion in the U.S. Okay, well, where's the trade? Because they're investing it doesn't mean they're buying anything from us. So, it could be that kind of deal. Who knows what is going to come out of it. But, I think, we still have some wishing and hoping that we're going to see some better disappearance. And it's interesting, if you look at the nearby contracts, December corn, December wheat, November beans. Well, November beans, they're coming up for delivery. We're not going to have any deliveries, so they're firm. But if you look at the nearby contracts of corn and wheat, versus their forward contracts, it's all about wishing and hoping for some sort of nearby deal. And will it involve corn? I'd be surprised if it was, especially since the USDA has laid out that China's going to only import 6 million tons of corn. Wheat, China buys some wheat from us here and there, but never enough to be substantial. So we're always waiting on soybeans. And, I think the meal market kept the bean market alive. And the meal market has a story all by itself. Now, granted, our crush rates are, nearly phenomenal. Why the strength in soybean meal? Well, part of it's the spread versus sagging soybean oil. But soybean meal, we have an excellent, excellent export market. And I think that's in part to Argentina, when they had their fire sale on soybeans a number of months ago. Well, they don't have that many beans to crush. And so here we are, the U.S., being pretty much of a dominant factor in the world meal market. And I think that is one reason why we have such a really, really strong export basis for soybean meal. So, and I've always said, you know, when you've got stronger meal prices, soybean prices aren't going down just because they're the lion's share of the 60-pound bushel. So we look at where prices went, and you go back to corn, you look where corn went. This 435 to 440, 440 to 445, these are substantial resistance areas. And we, you know, we would love to say we don't have the crop out there that the USDA alluded to in September, but so far all we have is speculation. Now, they gave us a number on yield of, I believe it was 186 and change. Most people are in the camp of 180 to 183. And the smart guys are saying, if you want to have a really bullish yield number, it's got to be below 180. So, well, when are we going to get that number? Who knows? Right now, it doesn't look like we'll get it for a November report, even if the government opens up between now and then. Will the USDA change their format due to all these delays and possibly give us a December update? Well, that remains to be seen. If not, you know, then we're going to get to speculate all the way out to January. But right now, you know, I look at corn prices. They're in a bit of a resistance area. Wheat prices, we've had a great rally here, and they're knocking at the door of a, well, call it a interim breakout, if you will. D-sweet above, above 535 with conviction. That would be taking out previous three-month highs. So short covering, that's the name of the game in the wheat market. In fact, that's the name of the game in the corn market. We've seen open interest throughout this, you know, the last couple of days of rally. Open interest has gone down. So that would suggest all we've seen so far is short covering. So, but back to soybeans. Yeah, hopefully we get a deal. We're going to sit and stew for another number of hours. Sometime tonight, we should hear some results. Soybean meal has its own story through the export program. But meal, be careful. Right now, it's in a little bit of a technical overbought area. RSI is awfully lofty, if you will. Lofty to the point where very rarely do you see that much more follow through from what we've seen today. And soybean oil, it's a trading range affair between 49 cents a pound and 52 cents a pound. Palm oil is at 12-week lows. We're still waiting for the EPA on how they're going to reallocate these exempted waivers. Supposedly, they should be, you know, within a week's time. I want to say it was back in early September where they said they're going to do a 45-day questioning period, meaning you know, they wanted to get feedback from who, I don't know, but it was like a 45-day holding period before they would give us any specific announcements. Well, that 45 days is just about here. So, but in the meantime, bean oil, I'll just, you know, spin their wheels, if you will.
That's Tom Fritz, EFG Group. December corn on Wednesday up to 434, up 3/4 of a point on the March, 446 and 3/4. Novi beans gained a couple of pennies, 1080 and a quarter, 1094 and a half on the January, down 3/4 of a point. December wheat up 3 1/4, 532 and a quarter. In livestock, December live cattle up 432 to 230.90, and December lean hogs down a nickel to 80.77. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.